speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Love. We feel so much love here at East End. To be able to be a part of the church family is to be a part of the love of our God. God loves us so much that He willingly gave His only begotten Son at Calvary's cross to die for our sins. And whenever we obey Christ in baptism, we have our sins forgiven and we are added unto the Lord's church, and we become a part of a spiritual family. We become a part of God's family, of the spiritual kingdom that He established at Pentecost, and that continues unto this day, and will someday dwell eternally in heaven with Him. At East End, we are blessed with a beautiful family, and Dawn and I have been able to experience the love that this congregation has for 5 years. Today, we complete 5 years at East End, and we are so blessed, so pleased to be a part of this loving church family here in this community. Thank you for your love, and we want you to know how much we love and appreciate each and every one of you, and not only for the love that you have for the church, but the amazing love that every one of you have and demonstrate towards our Heavenly Father. It's such a blessing and an encouragement to us. You know, as we think in regard to love, we need to understand that love is an essential aspect to man's life. Every one of us need to experience love in our life, from the time in which an infant is in the mother's womb and to the time in which it is born. That child needs to know that it is loved, and it needs to hear love expressed and to feel love expressed. But I tell you today that infants and small children are not the only ones who need love. Every single one of us need to know that we are loved, and then also to be able to express love continually throughout the course of our life. No matter at what stage we are in life, love is a very vital part of our existence here. Yet at the same time, as I stand before you today, I tell you that there is a misunderstanding among some in regard to what represents love. Some will say that they love someone without meaning it. They will say that they love an individual, but yet at the same time, they do not truly love that person. Why? Because maybe they've not known them long enough to really and truly love them, or maybe they are expressing love for the wrong reason. They really and truly did not have the type of love that they are expressing. Yet, also sometimes I find in our modern society is that some women, it seems, to not understand truly what love is. They will equate love with abuse, and they will be in an abusive situation, and for some odd reason they think that abuse is an outcry or a form of an expression of love. And good people, that is not love. Love does not abuse, but rather love is compassionate, and love is merciful, and love is always there to extend good unto those that they love. But also, I contend, is that sometimes we employ the term love in a very careless way. Sometimes people will express a form of love in an attempt to get whatever it is that they want. A young man might say to a young woman that he loves her only to get his way with her. And that's not love. An individual needs to not use the word love in a careless way, but rather to use it in a very serious manner, in the context of which our God expresses it, as well as in a way in which our society really and truly knows what love is. Today, as I stand before you, I also express that love is a missing factor whenever it comes to peace. There are all kinds of peace that we might experience in this life. But yet at the same time, a peace that does not have true love in it does not know what true peace is. In a family relationship where there is true love and peace, then we understand what that peace is. But in an ultimate way, whenever we come to our relationship with our God, in order for us to have peace with God, we've got to be in the love of God, as well as we've got to be able to express that love that we have towards God, as well as a love for our fellow man. What is love? Good people, the fullness, the ultimate, if you would, in what really and truly love is only realized when we consider Jesus Christ our Lord. He is love. We've identified is that it is in the Father's love that He sent Christ into the world. Good people, not only does the Father love us with an agape, never-ending love, but Jesus Christ our Lord, His beloved Son, our Savior, loves us so much. We have the demonstration of His love, as Paul explains in the book of Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die, but God, He commends or demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners." Jesus expresses the type of love He has for us in John chapter 15 and verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends." Good people, that is love, to where one is willing to give themselves in a sacrificial way, whether they're willing to die for the one that they want to be the recipient of their love. What do we find in regard to love? Good people, there are various Greek terms that are used to express love. The first two are not found verbatim in the Bible, but yet at the same time they are expressed time and time again throughout the Scripture. One is eros, and eros is a passionate and intimate type of love that a husband and wife are to share with one another. It is that deep, devoted love that a man will have for a woman and a woman will have for her husband, and it leads into their marriage relationship and all that God endorses for them in regard to their being together as a husband and wife. And then there is another term that is expressed in the Scripture, that is explained in the Scripture. It is storge, and storge is an affectionate love that we have for our family, usually would be the way in which we would find that explained in the Old and also in the New Testament, but also amongst our modern society. It is the type of love that a father will have towards his children, or a mother would have towards her children, where that they would give themselves continually and express themselves in a way that they would want their children to know how much they love and appreciate and adore them. And then they will also put into action this storge love to protect their family and to provide for their family. But it's not only about the mother and father and the love that they have for their children. It also would be used in regard to the love that children are to have for their parents. This storge love is to the level or to the degree where the children would love, respect, and honor their parents according to the customs, according to the standards that mom and dad might lay out. But also a term that we do find used time and again in the Scripture is phileo. And phileo is a love that you would have for your fellow man in the general context. But as we would use it in reference to our relationship with God as well as with one another, it would be the type of love that we would have for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a city here in the United States that's named after this Greek term phileo, and it is Philadelphia. And if you look to the etymology concerning that word, you will find that it means the city of brotherly love. And I've been there, and I tell you that there might be an angle of brotherly love there, but in reality it's not a city that's engulfed in brotherly love. True brotherly love is experienced here and amongst our church family. It is that type of love that I introduced as we were talking about the lesson in an introductory stage today, the type of love that we have and that we know is here amongst one another at East End, and not only here amongst one another in our local congregation, but throughout the brotherhood, throughout Warren County, and also throughout the entirety of the world. It is a love where that we are connected to our God through Jesus Christ. And we are recognition of the children of God through what the Scripture identifies. And also then, we walk with one another in love, having compassion for one another and having concern for one another and having a commitment to not only our God, but to our brothers and sisters in Christ. But the Bible also identifies a term that sometimes we speak about, and today I want to speak about it in a broader context, and that term, as it is employed in the Scripture, is agape. And agape love is the deepest type of love that an individual can have and also experience in life. Agape love is the type of love that we see that our God, our Creator, our Heavenly Father expresses time and time again in the Scripture, but also illustrates for us, not only in the New Testament times, but the type of love that God continues to display for us each and every day of our life here. God, because of the agape love that He has for us, He gave Christ, but good people, He also, on a continual, on a daily basis, He's there to provide for the things that we need in life. Why does He do this? Because He has an agape love for us. What is agape love? It is an unconditional, sacrificial, never-ending love. And that's what God has for us. And that's also what our God wants you and me as Christians to display continually as why we are here. God commands us to have love for one another, phileo love. But He also commands us to have storge love for our family, as well as eros love for our spouse. But God also then wants us to have an agape love. And this type of love is commanded by our God. Understand that God connects a belief in Jesus Christ, our Lord, with also a love for one another. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23. He ties these two together to identify that if we claim that we have a belief in Christ, if we not only have confessed Christ to be the Lord and Savior and submitted ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, that with that belief we will also have a love for one another. We will, in our obedience to Christ, not only claim that we love God through that obedience, but good people, we will also have and express an ongoing, never-ending love for our fellow man, for those who are lost in the world, but also in the context, as I believe it is used here, in regard to the way in which we feel for one another. If we truly believe in Christ, we are also then commanded by our God to love one another. In fact, God goes on to explain to us by way of inspiration in 1 John chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8 that if we say that we love God, then also we must love one another. Why? Because if we do not love one another, if we do not have a love for our fellow man, then there's no way that we can have a love for God. Why? Because it's impossible to love God whom we have not seen if we do not love our fellow man who we are able to see, who we are able to cast our eyes upon, who we are continually round and about in association with. God says that if we want to know Him, if we want to be identified as one of His children and to spend eternity in heaven with Him, then we must also have a love for the people that we come in contact with on a daily basis. You know, we also are given a commandment concerning the love that we must have for one another. And Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." And some people mistakenly have said that love was not commanded under the Old Testament law, and that's not true. It was commanded under the Old Testament law. And, well, what is Jesus saying here whenever He says, "A new commandment I give unto you"? He gives a new qualification in regard to the type of love that we must have for one another. Love has always been expected, but now God has set the bar high in regard to the type of love that we must have for one another and for our God and for also our fellow man, those who are lost. He says, as I have loved you, also you must love one another. Well, how is it that God has loved us? Good people, He has loved us with that agape love, with that unconditional, with that sacrificial, with that never-ending type of love. And God then expects us to understand that this is indeed not only the way that He has loved us, but it is the way that you and I, those who wear His name, those who are His children, must also love as we come in contact with people in this life. You see, the Bible identifies us that when God commands us to love, that love must define who we are as Christians. The Apostle Paul asserts this in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, saying that we are to walk in love. We are to walk in the love of God, not to walk away from the love of God. I think would be one way that we could interpret that. But we are to walk in the love of God in the sense that we are to continually demonstrate, continually display before others the type of love that we have in God, as well as in regard to our relationship with God who loves the world. The world needs to see our God and the love of God displayed continually through the people of God, Christians, you and me. We must walk as children of God in love for people continually. And the Bible identifies concerning this love, that the love that we have for our God, as well as the love that we must display, it perfect love casts out fear. Our God has not given us a spirit of fear, but rather a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And in this, the more and more that we love God, and the more that we understand the love of God, then the things that God calls us to do in regard to the persecution that we face in life, those things should not bring fear to us, but rather it ought to develop our faith based out of our love for our God. But also then, whenever we think in regard to our dealing with our fellow man, whenever we come in contact with others and we might have that fear of speaking to these individuals about Christ, if we have the perfect love, mature love, then we will cast that fear aside and in faith be able to speak to whomever it is that God brings us in contact with. The Bible also says concerning this love that God has for us and also the love that we must display before the world is that this love is able to cover a multitude of sins. It's able to cover any type of sin that man might have in their life. And as we look to sin, oftentimes we will classify or we might categorize sin and to say that one sin is higher than another. And yet at the same time, the Bible never identifies any indication that there is any classification of sin, but rather sin is sin in the sight of God. What is sin? According to what the Bible identifies in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, sin is merely the transgression of God's law. And whenever I say merely, I'm not making light of that. I'm just saying that any time that man violates the law of God, God sees that as sin. And that sin separates these individuals from God. But in love, in God's love for these people, and then as you and I reach out with the love of God to these souls who are outside of the body of Christ, if they come to love God the way that you and I love God, in an obedient love, then God's love will cover the multitude of sin that is in their life, or even the sin that would have been lived had they never obeyed the gospel of Christ. You know, the Bible also tells us that agape love is without hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? It is hypocritical, or we use the term hypocrite from time to time. And what is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is one who will say one thing and then do another. A hypocrite, or to live a hypocritical life, is an individual who is not truly devoted to God. And then when we think in regard to the way in which we're applying it to love, as it is expressed in the context of Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, it would mean that our love for God and our love for our fellow man must not be hypocritical. We must have a love that is devoted to our fellow man. And that love that we have for our fellow man and also for our God and our Creator, good people, must be a sincere love. People can see right through us whenever we're not sincere from time to time. There are some who's able to hide it, but yet at the same time, if you watch an individual's actions or listen to their words, eventually you're going to find out whether or not they truly mean what it is that they say, if they're sincere or not. And as Christians, you and I need not to be people who put on a good face or a good show when it comes to our love. Rather, that we need to display sincerity in regard to the way in which we are committed to God, as well as in the way in which we have a concern for the people of this world. The world needs to see our agape love is indeed a true love that is defined by our God continually in Scripture. For the Bible also says concerning this love is that the people of this world and our God ultimately sees that Christians love righteousness. Well, what is righteousness? We understand that Christ was righteous and that our God is righteous in all of His ways. Well, what does it mean to be righteous? To be righteous literally means to be right. And it's not being right in our own understanding, or it's not being right according to world standards, but rather it's being right according to the high and holy righteous ways of God. And Christians are commanded by God to love righteousness, to love the ways of God, and to stand out, to be different from the people of this world, but also, at the same time, to be connected to the people of the world so that in our righteous ways, we will also be able to affect those who are unrighteous in a way that they will see that we love righteousness and that we love God and we love them. And our desire is not to condemn them, if you would, for their unrighteousness, but rather to bring them out of unrighteousness to the righteousness of God. To bring them to the point to where they also will love righteousness over the things that the world has to offer them. You see, the Bible also defines the type of love that we must have. We must love selflessly. We live in a world today where oftentimes things is about us. It's about what makes me happy. It's about what makes you happy. And it's not about others. And we've got to be people who are not only concerned about us, but we've got to be people who are concerned about our fellow man. And as we think in regard to loving to this level, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8 defines this, is that we will not be puffed up whenever it comes to the love that we have, but rather is that love will demonstrate itself in a very humble, contrite manner. And love will not think of its own, but rather love will continually be thinking about our fellow man. We will be thinking about our family and the things that our families need. We will be thinking about the church and how that we can be a blessing and a benefit to our local congregation, to be able to inspire our brethren, to be able to edify, to motivate, to encourage one another unto love and unto good works on a continual basis. But also, when we think in regard to this selfless love, is that we are giving ourselves not only to the brotherhood and to our families, we are also giving ourselves over to the needs of the people of this world. But also, good people, God defines concerning this love that we must have as Christians, is that we must love forgivingly. Our God loves us forgivingly. He forgives us in Christ whenever we are baptized into Christ. But you and I know as Christians that it does not end there. You and I still sin and fall short of the glory of God. And yet, at the same time, because God loves us, He doesn't just write us off after we have sinned against Him after baptism, but rather He continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. When we go to Him and ask Him for His forgiveness. And God identifies is that as children of the Creator, then we've got to follow according to His lead. If God forgives us, then also we've got to be forgiving of others. When people put Christ on in baptism, if they have sinned in a way that is directly against us, we've got to forgive them. And after they have been baptized, if we have a brother or sister in Christ who sins in a way that brings reproach upon the church, or even in a way that hurts us, that might challenge us, and they ask for God's forgiveness, then also God tells us that we've got to love in a forgiving way to forgive them. How often, how much should we forgive them? Jesus taught of this in the book of Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and following. He says 7 times 70, and some people are very quick to do the math and say 490 times, I believe it is, that they say that equals. Well, then does that mean that we're done after that? Absolutely not. What God is saying is that we keep on forgiving no matter how many times it adds up to. Why? Because that's the type of love that our Heavenly Father has for us. And as Christians also, the Bible identifies for us that we must love sacrificially. To love sacrificially means that it's going to cost us something. What is it going to cost us to love sacrificially? It will cost us our life. It will cost us our time. We've got to be willing to give of our time to be able to let the world know, as well as to let our families know and the church know, how much we love one another, how much we love our God, and also the love that we have for our fellow man. It's going to cost us time. I'm going to hit a little hard here. It will also cost us finances. Why? Because we live in a world that nothing's free anymore. I don't know that it's ever been free, but it's definitely getting worse and worse. And we've got to be willing to put our money where our mouth is and to help people legitimate reasons and causes in situations that we might be able to win the more, even to Christ, by having the sacrificial love that our Lord displayed whenever He went to the cross. But also, God identifies concerning this love that we must have is that we must love understandingly. We need to realize the condition that people are in whenever they come to Christ. We are blessed to be able to have many people who visit us here at East End, and in that we have also been blessed above that to have many converts coming out of denominations. And as they come out of denominations, they have been taught wrong. They've been taught false doctrine for a long period of time, and we've got to be patient as they transform to the ways of Christ and to teach them and to love them, to encourage them as they are growing in the Lord. But also we deal with a lot of people who come out of the world and they have all of these worldly ways, and I'm reminded of what the Scripture says concerning our God with us, even as Christians. He says, the Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come unto repentance. And God understands, and God gives us time to change. In fact, we read of such in the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, do not be conformed to the world, but rather be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. God identifies that those who come to Him, that it is indeed a transformation period. It is a change, and to transform doesn't take place usually overnight, but rather it starts at a certain hour, if you would. But still at the same time, it is a process. And it begins in the mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And whenever the mind consumes what it is that God expects us to do, and whenever the mind is committed to changing and living according to the form of God, then the actions will follow. And God wants us to love in an understanding manner as people are doing that transformation to Christ. And I want to commend the congregation for your patience in and with the souls that we have been able to be blessed in bringing to Christ in this manner. Love is also developed. Love must be pursued. We've got to pursue the type of love that God commands us. And what does it mean to pursue? It means that we're constantly thinking about this love that God requires of us. It means that we've got to have an understanding of this love. And how do we gain that understanding? We can hear sermons about it, and that's what I hope in part to accomplish today. But yet at the same time, we've got to give ourselves over to continually studying from the Bible. Yes, what I'm saying is that this love must be taught. We teach it from the pulpit. We teach it from the class. But moms and dads are responsible also for teaching and training our children according to this measure, this level of love in the home. Whenever the children are most impressionable. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Mothers are directly commanded, or the older women rather, in the context, in Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. And it does deal with a mother there, that the older women are to teach their children to love their husbands. And not only do they teach them to love the husbands, I believe that they also teach them about what true love for their children, for their family, and for the church, and for their fellow man is really and truly all about. This love must be pursued and this love must be taught. And God also expects us to examine the love that we have for our God as well as for our fellow man. We are to examine ourselves on a continual basis as to whether we are in the faith. And as I think about examining our love, I think about the context where Jesus spoke to Peter. After Jesus had been resurrected from the grave, He goes and appears before the apostles. And the context there, the apostles are fishing, and Jesus calls them over to the shoreside, and He fixed a meal for them. And as they are eating, then Jesus takes Peter, and He asks him, "Peter, do you love Me?" And Jesus says, "Lord, you know I love you. I phileo you like a brother." And what Jesus was really wanting, I think, Peter to get to is to understand that he didn't love him the way that he should have loved him, with agape love, with a never-ending sacrificial love. And we see that with Peter, don't we? When he denied Christ three times there when the Lord was on trial, before His crucifixion. And the Lord wants us to examine the love that we have for Him on a continual basis, and the love that we have for one another, to see if indeed we truly love as God loves and as God expects us to love Him. And what about this love? How long will it last? We live in a throwaway world today. I deal with so many people, couples who have been married for a long time, and they say, "I don't love him anymore." Or he says, "She's not the woman that I want her to be. She's not the woman that I married. I don't love her anymore." Friends, real love doesn't end like that. Real love is carried continually throughout life. And it's that way in the family. And it is also to be that way in regard to our relationship with our God and our Creator. The love that we have as Christians, we must love God above all. We must love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He is the center of our lives. That's what He wants. That's what He requires. And that's also what He deserves. But He says, second to that, we must also love our brethren. We must love those who are here at East End. We must love those who are in the church here locally within our community. We must also have brotherly love throughout the brotherhood for our brothers and sisters here stateside and abroad. We must love those who are in the Lord. But also, good people, we must love our families. Continually, we must express our love for our family, those in our home, and those in our extended family, those who are not in our home. But let's also make sure that we demonstrate love for our families. I've seen some families who no longer talk with one another. And that's not true love. That's not pleasing to God. It's certainly also not beneficial for the families. And God wants us to have a love for our families that's continually, that we build each other up. He has placed us in the families that we have in life, and He wants us to be close-knitted. He wants us to be connected with them while we are here, to be appreciative of them, to adore them, to love them in a way that will glorify God and will be beneficial for the family. But today I also tell you, as I trust that many, if not all of you know, God wants us to love every soul. Why? Because every soul is important to our God. And as we look to people, we need to look to people as a soul that will someday stand before the presence of God to give an account before Him in the judgment. And if those souls that God loves has not seen the love that you and I have for them to express the love of God, good people, not only will they be separated from God, also you and I will stand accountable before God in that day for not having, for not showing, for not living according to the love of God in our lives. Love. We must love in such a way that will express our love to God. How do we do that? It begins by confessing Christ to be the Son of the living God and submitting yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. In order for you to be a recipient of God's love, you must do these things. And then from that point forward, you're commanded, as we are all commanded as Christians, to walk in love, in the love of God each day of your life.